All right, folks, why don't we start heading back to our seats, and hopefully after worship you can continue to greet one another and catch up. And this morning, Jimmy Poon is going to read to us from Luke 12.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Luke 12, verses 13 to 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, for with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment to pray together. Our Father, we ask that this morning you would meet us here by your Spirit so your words actually come alive to us. Because we need to hear from you. We need to be challenged. We also need to be comforted. And more than anything else, we need to find ourselves in a fresh, new encounter with you. And would you grant us that this morning, Lord? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it's possible to be sick and not even know it. You know, this is one of the things that's been hammered home to us during this pandemic. You know, the fact that you could have been infected with COVID-19 and be asymptomatic. And not knowing that you carried around the virus and potentially infecting others. And why am I bringing this up? Because you're thinking, things are finally opening up, you know? We're back at church, in person, let's enjoy this. But I'm sorry, as I read this passage, this is where my mind went to, you know? Because this is exactly what it feels like that Jesus is doing in talking about greed. Because that's the topic this morning, the very comfortable topic of money and greed. And it is absolutely possible to suffer from greed and not be aware of it. There's a guy who interrupts Jesus' teaching and says, "Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's sort of like he's been listening to Jesus preach for a while now, especially to the Pharisees. And last week we saw Jesus warn the crowd about the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you remember this when David preached about it? All of the woes to the Pharisees. Especially in Luke 11, in verse 39, he tells the Pharisees, "You clean the outside of the cup, but you are full of greed." And he tells them, "You tithe, but you actually neglect justice and generosity to the poor. And this guy is processing all of this. And then he all of a sudden interrupts Jesus and says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, which seems like a perfectly reasonable request, right? But Jesus immediately says to this man and to the crowd and to everyone who's listening, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Covetousness, desire for wealth, or greed. And that's the word I'm going to use throughout the sermon. It's easier to say than covetousness, okay? But in other words, when it comes to money, greed, a lot of us are actually sick and don't even know it. And what I want you to see is that is actually the nature of this particular condition. Because greed is insidious. You don't know. You're struggling with it. It is intrinsically always in incognito mode. You know that tab you put on in your Chrome browser to say, I don't want anyone to know anything about me? That's what greed does. You know, I'll tell you, no one has ever texted me and called me and said, Pastor Iron, I have an emergency. I need to see you today. I need help with greed. No one does that. That has never happened. Because blindness to the condition is part of the condition. And this tells you that greed is sort of in a different category than most other sins. And this is what I mean. You know, in the Ten Commandments, it says things like, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. I'm pretty sure you know when you're committing any of those things. You know what I'm saying? You just know you're doing it. But with greed, you may not be conscious of it. Coveting, you may not be conscious of it. And Jesus says, watch out. And what he means by that is don't assume you are okay. You actually need to get tested for this. You need a checkup. You need to look deep in your soul and ask some hard questions and say, is this true of me? Now, you may say, well, I don't think that's me. I can tell you all sorts of ways I'm generous. I mean, the Pharisees were saying pretty much the same thing in Luke 11. But let me ask you this question. When you hear about greed, do you first get all cynical because the pastor is talking about money? Maybe that's the first place your mind goes to. Or immediately you start thinking, oh, so-and-so needs to be here today. You know? In other words, you got to ask yourself, when is focusing on money actually a problem? We have to dig a little deeper. When is wanting more, thinking about how to save more, whatever it is that draws you in, when is it a problem? When you think about that, do you immediately again think about yourself or you think about someone else? Because as Jesus is saying, we are always in incognito mode when it comes to greed. And if that's the case, here's the question I want us to think about this morning. What do we need to do? What do we need to do if that's the case? We need to look and see if we have the symptoms. And secondly, we need to take the steps to get well. And I think that's what Jesus lays out for us here. So what are the symptoms? Okay. Do I have the symptoms? And some of you are saying, wait, what do you mean symptoms? Didn't you say this thing was asymptomatic? And yes, but it doesn't mean it can't be detected. You just need to go a little deeper, investigate. You know, and I'm assuming here, all of us who are gathered here in this courtyard, we're in different places spiritually, and my guess is economically, which means it's greed. And the sin of greed impacts us all differently here. For those of us who are struggling, we're going to find that it impacts us differently than someone who is wealthy versus someone who feels very middle class. But let me tell you something. This sin is non-discriminating. It attacks all kinds of people, and no one is immune to it. And Jesus describes a couple of ways it may work out. So look at verse 29 with me. It says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. One of the ways greed actually works out is this. You are always worried about money. You think about your expenses. How am I going to take care of things down the road? You think about this all of the time. You're running after money, you know? And when Jesus says here, for all the nations of the world seek after this, the nations of the world are people who don't know God. That's one of the ways Jesus describes them. And he's saying, people who don't know God are always chasing after money to feel secure. You're seeking after these things. You're always worried and anxious. Later on, go back and read in this passage how many times that word anxious comes up. Or the other way Jesus describes it is in verse 18. Jesus tells a parable about a rich man, and he says this in verse 18. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And is always wanting more. Beneath all of this, this wanting to feel secure, always never being satisfied, there's two things here that are symptoms. Because greed actually shows us something. It shows up in our lives either as this need for security or a need for significance. A need for security through money or a need for significance through money. And look at how Jesus lays this out for us on different levels. Because he's saying this is how greed works in us. Let's look at the first one. Finding security and significance in your money, your wealth, rather than in God. He gives us an example so we can figure out how to diagnose this. Because the crowd thinks they're doing fine. And he starts to talk about birds. He talks about the ravens and about security. And look at verse 22. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, not about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? He said, think about these birds. They don't find their security in sowing and in reaping, but they know they are cared for by God. You know, the bird thing is a symbolism and a metaphor that Jesus likes to use. Because in verse 7 earlier, he says, fear not. You are of more value than the sparrows. Listen, we all have financial needs. I'm not saying we don't have those. And the Bible definitely is not saying we can just say, I don't need to work. I'm just going to trust in God and he's going to provide for me. Go to Proverbs. It tells you that's not what you're supposed to do. But Jesus isn't saying you don't need to work here and that somehow God's just going to take care of you and you just need faith. Remember, he's talking and addressing the crowd about coveting and greed. So that's the context. And he's saying that is a virus that begins to multiply in us. And when money becomes your primary security, rather than in God himself and his provisions, and trusting in his love for you and believing that in this unpredictable world, the way I can feel safe is not through money, but in him. That's where he's trying to get us to. Because in this world, for most of us, this is what we do. We think financial security. This is the primary way I can know I have control over my life. I can soar it up. Now, I want to tell you something. We know this is untrue. Because when it comes to the great dangers in this world, money is not going to make a lick of difference. And you know this. When it comes to tragedy or loss in your life, death of those closest to you, relationships where things go badly and maybe leave you feeling very alone, those things that are frankly some of the worst things you may face in this life, money doesn't protect us from it. And Jesus is saying, God must be our security, not our money. This is why the wealthy farmer in this parable is called a fool in verse 20. A fool in the scriptures is one who lives a life in a way that denies or ignores the reality of God. God is absent from his thinking and not factored in his plans. He doesn't trust in God, but relies on his ability to hoard, to store up for a rainy day. And this is like building your house on sand. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. That's the first thing. How do you know you're struggling with greed? Ask yourself, is money my security or is it God? And the second thing we see here, the second thing that is a symptom is significance. Because Jesus moves from this image of the ravens to the lilies. And verse 27, consider the lilies. The lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Because this is another aspect of greed. It is looking to money to give you a sense of significance, to feel like you're beautiful, to believe it is the source of turning you into someone who matters, who is noteworthy, who is beautiful, who should be taken seriously. And one of the great temptations for every person here is to think that money is how you grow to become a person that matters. That matters. Now, we know that pouring a lot of money into plastic surgery is not going to turn you into a beautiful lily. You watch enough TV, enough movies, you get the idea, right? Sadly, you know what happens when you hoard and your ego is wrapped around what you have? You may become someone like a feared person, but you're not going to become a person who is loved, who is respected, who is seen as beautiful, someone you want to be around. And we know money can't make you that. You know, I heard a pastor put it this way once. Jesus is saying, when he's talking about money here, you can have a purse full of money and be a person full of nothing. Maybe it's security you're after, or significance. Jesus is saying, this is the tragedy of this sickness. If you try to find those things in money, you're always going to be disappointed. It will fail you because only God and his kingdom is unshakable. And that is the only place you will find what you're looking for. Now, here's the question. How do you get this? Okay, this is where I want to spend the rest of our time. How do you get this? What's the treatment? What are the things I need to do to get well here? Well, think about it. If you have any of the symptoms, what are you to do? First of all, Jesus is saying you need to have an experience of grace. And then secondly, you need to experiment in giving. That's the prescription Jesus gives us here. You need an experience of his grace. And secondly, you need to experiment in giving. Look at verse 32. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. A lot of times when you hear pastors talk about money, what you may hear is something along the lines of, if you give away your money, you'll get to heaven, or God's going to bless you and give you what you want. And I want to tell you, that is not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is saying what you need is an experience of grace. An experience of grace. If you want to know God's kingdom and have security and significance in your life from him, you need to understand this is a gift from him. You have to let him give you his kingdom. That's what Jesus is mentioning in verse 32. If you want his kingdom, you will never be able to give away all your treasure in order to get his treasure. What you need to do is learn how to receive it, because it is a free gift. And that is the only security that will never be shaken, because it is Almighty God who is the giver of this gift. He never reneges on his gift. And it is that security that is never shaken that your Heavenly Father is saying, if you have this, if you understand that Jesus is the one who is giving this to you, The fact that he gave his one and only son for you, God is saying to you, through all of that, you are my treasure. And you're never going to find greater significance than letting that work into your heart. Imagine that. God is saying to you, you matter to me so much, I am going to give my one and only son so that I can have you. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. As he's thinking about Jesus, he says, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor so that you by his poverty might become rich. Although Jesus is God himself, the second person of the Trinity, with all of the privileges and glory, he laid that aside and he came. He humbled himself. He became a servant. He was willing to die on the cross for your sins and be raised to new life so that you can live and share in his life. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And what this means is this. Listen. The only way you will ever be free of the virus of greed, the only way you will be freed from this treasure seeking, is if you realize God has given you his treasure and in Jesus, and that becomes your treasure. Because if Jesus becomes your treasure and God's love to you becomes your security, your delight, you know that God delights in you because of Jesus, then you're significant. When that becomes your treasure, you know what happens to your money? It just becomes money, but it's not your treasure. And you know why this matters? Because the last verse that we read, verse 34, it tells us where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Jesus talks about money, not because he wants to talk about money, but because he wants to talk about your heart. See? He wants to talk about your heart. Because our heart and our money, they flow to the same thing. The things we find glory in, where we find life, where we find meaning, where we find joy, that's where our money's going to go. You know, I give myself 2 times a year when I get to bring up Lord of the Rings, because it's so overused by pastors, right? But I'm going to use that today, and remind me if I do it 3 times a year, call me out on it. But you can't help but think about this character, Gollum, right? Do you remember Gollum in Lord of the Rings? He finds a gold ring that becomes his treasure. It's precious. And you know what that thing does to him throughout the story? It warps him physically, psychologically, intellectually, spiritually. It just breaks him down. And the point here that Jesus is making is you, if you wrap your heart around anything in the world other than Jesus himself and his kingdom, unless those things are precious to you, everything else is probably going to hurt you. It's the metaphor in verse 33, money bags and purses that will wear out, an asset that loses its value, a treasure that can be stolen. The real issue, he's saying, is your heart. And if Jesus becomes your treasure, he's not going to let you down. He becomes your security, significance. And he's asking us, have you experienced this grace? When was the last time you experienced this grace? That's the question he's asking. And finally, Jesus says, if you do experience his grace, you know what you're going to do? You're going to begin to experiment with giving. Look at what he says in verses 32 and 33. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. He's saying you're going to give away stuff. You know, most of us struggle with giving. I do when I think about all the financial obligations I have. You know, it's like you start thinking about, oh man, do we save enough? We got to send a kid to college. You start thinking about all this stuff. And then your mind is like spinning out of control. But Jesus is saying again, I want to become so precious to you that you start getting creative in your heart because you're so excited about my kingdom to give. The things about his kingdom become precious to us. The things I'm doing, I want to be a part of God's mission in the world. I have concern for people around me now. So he says, sell your possessions. I mean, how does that translate? Give away. Experiment with generosity. You know, you begin to say, how do I engage more with what God is doing through the church, maybe? How do I engage more in meeting people with needs? How do I use my money? You think about all the different wonderful organizations that are trying to make a difference, and you start considering, how can I be a part of this? And this is very different than the one-time donation on a GoFundMe page. There's a place for that, absolutely. But just to give a donation to a need, this is not what the Bible's talking about here. We're not like giving a tip to God, okay? God doesn't need our money. That's not what this is about. Remember, Jesus criticized the Pharisees back in Luke 11:42 about their greed, although they are giving. He's talking about a generosity that flows from understanding that God doesn't need our money, your money, or my money, but he invites us to see that our lives are reoriented to his kingdom purposes. It's a radical call to follow him. And that happens when you experience God's generosity towards you. And for some of you, this is a new idea. And if you're saying, well, I don't even know where to start, let me suggest a couple of things for you. First thing I'd say is start digging into the Bible and what Jesus says about money. And ask yourself, do I have an issue with this? Maybe I have the sickness of greed. And maybe I've been ignoring the symptoms because all I do is ever think about is spending money on myself. You know? And you ask yourself, is money my significance? Is it my security? If you're a Christian, ask yourself this question. Have I grown in generosity to the needs of God's kingdom in the past year? And how have I acted on that? Very practical. That's the first thing I'd say. That's the first thing. And second thing is reorient your thinking in terms of giving as part of our worship. Because it's a response to what God has done. Have you ever thought about why giving is a part of worship? Again, it's a way for us to respond tangibly, reminding ourselves God has given himself sacrificially to us. And we get to offer him with our gifts, with our time, with our abilities. And you're telling God, you are my treasure, not my money. I want to grow in trusting you to be my security and my significance. I want to invest in your kingdom. And that happens to the degree you understand his grace. You will always grow in generosity. So practical suggestions, start somewhere. Come up with a plan. Look at your finances. Start budgeting. Talk to your husband, to your wife. Think about ways that you say, here's what we're excited about. God has given these things, given us a passion for these things. Maybe you have missionaries. Maybe you want to serve the homeless. You know, whatever the case may be, start giving to those. Start somewhere. You know, when the opportunity to purchase our building last year came up, you know, one of the questions that the pastors, the elders, the staff we were talking about is, can we actually raise the money for this down payment? We're in the middle of a pandemic. This is like June, July, if you remember. It's not a whole lot of clarity on what's going to happen with the economy. Could we go to the congregation with this? And when we did, people responded. It was beautiful. People gave generously. Some sold their possessions, literally. You liquidated some assets because you wanted to be a part of God's work. And let me tell you, one of the most encouraging gifts we received was for $15, accompanied by a note saying, I'm 10 years old, and this is from my allowance. And that was beautiful because I bet as a percentage of assets, that's significant, you know? But here's a child saying, I want to be a part of this. This is exciting because you know why? They're understanding something, that God is at work. And let me close with this. It's a quote from an author, Robert Schneez, in the front of your bulletin there. But this is how we need to think about giving, about money, about greed. Giving helps us become what God wants us to be. Giving is not merely about the church's need for money, but about the Christian's need to grow in generosity. Generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, a sign of our spiritual growth. God uses our giving to change the world for God's purposes, and God uses our giving to reconfigure our interior lives and to change us. To change us. Thank God. Thank God he wants to change us because we definitely need it. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is incredibly generous. You did not withhold from us your blessing, but in fact, you gave us everything in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. You allowed him to take human form, to lay aside his glory, to suffer and die on our behalf, in order that we would become your treasured possessions. And Father, we ask that this morning you would allow us to experience that grace afresh and anew, because that's the key that unlocks everything else. We want to know you. We want to taste and see how good you truly are. And would you bless us with that? And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.